want you to take your Bibles. Let's look at the book of Galatians for just a moment. I want to marvel with the Apostle Paul with you tonight. If you have your Bible in the book of Galatians, look at chapter 1, and I want to just point out some passages that stand out, and I want us to think about the implications here so that we don't fall into the same trap. Notice verse 6, chapter 1, Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Just notice how the apostle is marveling that they had removed themselves from the gospel unto a supposed another gospel. And I'm not going to go into the depth and richness of this text over the law of Moses and the combat going on spiritually over harmonizing the Old and the New Testaments. But that was the battle going on there, basically. I want us to analyze the principles here in this book and think about it. Notice also in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Look at what he says here. Another consideration. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" Notice there where he says to them, who is responsible for bewitching you, for subduing you? Now that's not to say that, oh, them mean old people that came and bewitched you. No, he's getting on to them. He's saying, how have you allowed this to happen? Now, you have to think about that because there will be deceivers in the world. There will be people that will come and will say things that are not right. And are you equipped to combat that situation? Here at the churches, now I want to remind you, this is the churches of Galatia. This epistle went to several churches. So it was an epidemic. Today we've seen movement start in one church and spread outward into regions like the Boston Crossroads movement and various, and just start to stretch its tentacles, its false teachings, into other areas. And these principles, again, are very applicable to today. Who hath bewitched you? There's not another gospel. There's not another truth. There's one Christ. Now look at another passage in Galatians chapter 5. And notice here in verse 7, "You did run well." Now watch this again. "Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Now I want you to notice that where he gets specific. He says, who is it? Because you need to be able to identify the problem. And problems aren't just floating around in the air without people. Problems and people go together. We're not talking about being bitten by dogs. However, he does use an interesting illustration in chapter 5 about biting and devouring one another in verse 15. And that's what happens when you get away from the truth. And you allow these things to happen. So I want you to notice the language. First he says, "I marvel that you are so soon." This is quick. We just preach the gospel to you and all of a sudden, who is it that's bewitched you? That's not a term of endearment. You've been bewitched. Now, how would you feel? How does it make you feel if you have been caught up in a subtlety of lie? You've been bewitched. Does that make you feel good? So then that next passage in Galatians 5:7, who did this? We need to be very serious, as Paul was with those here at the church of Galatia. Who's guilty? You're guilty for removing yourself from the one truth. You got bewitchers and those who are seducing you, and you need to know that and know who they are and mark them. And then look at what he says in Galatians 6, verse 7. Very straightforward principle here. It's a commandment. apostolic commandment. And look at it. What does it say? Verse 7. Be not. So whose responsibility is it not to be deceived? It's yours. So how do you guard your heart? How do you protect your family? How do you protect your interests? You need to be vigilant, not naive. Paul talks about those that are simple-minded in Romans 16, and that concerns me as a preacher and teacher, a Christian. Because we can look into the world and see what perhaps is perceived to be simple-minded people, naive people. And that's not an excuse to be deceived, to be bewitched, to remove yourself from the gospel. Be not deceived. And so we have to preach the gospel. So I want to just finish verses 7 and following here and give us something to think about, and the invitation will be yours. Look at what he says there in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right there he says, be fruit inspectors. Watch what they're sowing. Because whatever you're sowing, guess what? You're going to reap. That's where in chapter 5 he talks about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. What are you sowing and what are you reaping? Now, how many times have you looked at a person and said, appreciate all the good, healthy encouragement and advice, but have you stopped to look at your own family and the disarray your life is in? The old idea of pulling the moat and so forth out of your own eye before you try to get the beam out of another's. But you ever felt, I mean, the point being here is we're going to be fruit inspectors. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. So Paul says, pay attention to what's happening here around you. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So it's pretty simple. I tell people a lot, the older I get, it's pretty simple. If you're not reading and studying your Bible, you're sowing to the flesh. If you are reading and studying your Bible and meditating upon these truths, then you're sowing of the Spirit. And that's life everlasting. So we got a tree up here. What is that tree a reminder of? It's a reminder of those who are reading the Bible and studying it. And that's who's sowing through the Spirit, and they're sowing life everlasting. And it's very unlikely that this will represent those who are deceived, those who are bewitched, and those who are so soon removing themselves from the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you're in the gospel. And if you're staying in the gospel, you don't have to worry about this. But those who aren't reading and studying their Bibles are sad condition. And so we need to stay focused here, right? We can't afford to remove ourselves, remember, from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The possibility of apostasy is clearly taught in this book. And so just because one has obeyed the gospel in the past and become a New Testament child of God does not mean that he'll be saved eternally. He can and will lose his soul if he does not stay focused. How about you? How are we doing here? We have a lot of encouragement in this congregation, and there's really no excuse for anyone to be lost. So perhaps you're here and you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know very clearly what you need to do. Can we help you make that decision tonight? Can we help study with you? If you're ready to repent of your sins, confess Christ before men publicly, and be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of those sins, then you can walk out of here a saved child of God. But you have to be on guard, like we talked about here, to not allow yourself to be bewitched. And the way we do that is to continue to sow to the Spirit. Just read and study that Bible. Stick with Bible class. That's why we're here tonight. Come to worship services on Sunday. Be faithful. Be attentive. Pay attention. That's what will get you to the end. And you will reap that eternal reward as you stay faithful. The invitation of the Lord is, are you ready? Can we help you make that decision tonight? If we can, why don't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing. Won't you come?